And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody, to Soccer 101. My name is Taylor Rockwell, and this week it is Graham's last 101 for 2 weeks. He's going on vacation, so we figured why not make it a Graham Ruffin special by letting him talk about Football Manager for anywhere between 20 minutes and 4 hours. Graham Ruffin, how are you feeling?
Hello, Taylor. I am feeling well. How are you? Should I lie along the sofa for this episode? Because half an hour on Football Manager, for me, it's going to be light therapy.
All right, so let's hold off on psychoanalysis and your deep-seated feelings on Football Manager to just explain what Football Manager is in the first place. Because I think last week we did – well, I know last week we did an episode on FIFA. I think most people are aware of FIFA or have an understanding of FIFA, or at least are more aware of FIFA than they might be a Football Manager.
So for anyone who hasn't played Football Manager before, it is a football simulation game where essentially you are the manager of a team. The clue is in the title, and it's up to you to pick the team and choose the tactics and make the transfers and even things like decide the training drills and individual training focuses, and then you kind of just move through the matches and the seasons, and you get job offers, you might get sacked if you're not doing well, you just kind of play the life of a football manager.
And how different is it from, say, FIFA Career Mode? We talked about that last week, where you can go in, you can be the manager, you actually play the games, you're doing some transfers, you're doing some front office-y stuff, sort of. But I think it's fair to say Football Manager is slightly more involved.
Yeah, so conceptually, it's the same thing as FIFA Career Mode. I think the biggest difference is the intricacy of Football Manager. Football Manager is... I've not encountered another game like it. I'm not a massive gamer, so it's entirely possible there are other games like it out there. But just how in-depth it is, just how overwhelming it can be with the amount that you have to control in the game. It is a fairly, I mean, as far as these things go, it's a fairly realistic simulation of what it's like to be a football manager. Like, you have to speak to the media, you need to deal with players, you need to speak to your board, you need to meet with the recruitment staff, you need to meet with the coaching staff. Like, there's a lot of different moving parts in this game.
And how long has it been around? So FIFA video game, we talked about being an early 90s thing. To my understanding, Football Manager is a little bit of a later edition and isn't the only version of this type of game.
Yeah, so the first edition of Football Manager slightly predates FIFA by 1 year, not much in it, but the first one was released back in 1992, although back then it was called Championship Manager, and it was Championship Manager all the way up until 2004. That was my first introduction to the game, Champ Man, as it was called back in the day, or dubbed, that's what I used to call it. I seem to remember having some of the games around the early 2000s, although I had a harder time with Football Manager trying to pinpoint what was my first game than I did with FIFA. I think with FIFA, just because there's more things that stick in the memory, like Song 2 by Blur or the intro or the kits, whereas Football Manager doesn't really have that thing. But I'm pretty sure my first game was around the early 2000s. Back then, when it was Champ Man, it was a pretty primitive game by comparison. Anyway, there wasn't a match engine like you have now in Football Manager. It was just purely text updates from matches. There was no kind of visualization of games. You didn't have the huge database of players that you have now. I think a lot of people kind of preferred how simple the game was in this era, to be honest. It was easier to be successful in the early days of Championship Manager and Football Manager than it is now. The reason for the name change was a split between Eidos and Sports Interactive. So Eidos kept the rights to the name Championship Manager, and Sports Interactive, they owned the source code, so basically like the game itself. So Sports Interactive rebranded it Football Manager, and that was in 2005, and that takes us up to the present day with a new edition for every season.
I think it's a fascinating split there, with both CEOs or both people in charge of that one sort of kind of blaming the other one and blaming miscommunication. But it's basically what Eidos was they were the publishers, and then Sports Interactive were the ones who actually did the game creation, which is why they got to keep the code and all the data. And it reminds me of sort of the split that we talked about last week with FIFA, and how FIFA, the governing body, wanted to do their own thing. And it feels sort of like Eidos decided to do the same thing and then realized, wait, we don't have any of the code. We don't have the database of players. We don't really have any existing structure. We've got a name, though, and there's something here that can be a business plan. And they did try to go for that route. And obviously, it did not end up working out particularly well. They end up launching behind schedule that year. Their game is not met with much acclaim. Instead, it's met with derision because there are so many bugs. By contrast, Football Manager, the initial edition, I think they bought the naming rights from a game that existed in the 80s, and it comes out with the same code, with the same data, but then also with new bells and whistles and little tweaks along the way. And so they launch, 2 weeks early that year, and it sort of sets the stage for them to be the ones who continue to innovate and evolve the game and add more to it. And Champman is the one that doesn't really exist anymore, at least to my understanding. Graham, the other kind of introductory question for this one would basically just be, to your mind, how popular is this game at time of recording as we discuss it? So again, for people who are less familiar, how widespread is this around the world?
So Miles Jacobson is I'm not entirely sure what his official title is, maybe the CEO, chairman, whatever. He's the boss, right, of Sports Interactive. Very active on social media, and earlier this season he tweeted out that there are 7 million players of Football Manager around the world, which is a high water mark for Football Manager. I think this season's actually quite interesting. Without getting too far into the weeds, last season's game wasn't very popular. It faced a lot of criticism. There was complaints over some of the new innovations they tried to do, some of the gameplays, the match engine wasn't particularly great. And so this season, Miles Jacobson said that they'd kind of gone back to basics this season, but with the long-term plan of from next season, apparently they're going to do something entirely different with Football Manager. He didn't really elaborate on what that would look like. But this season we have a very classic game, and I think that's reflected in the fact that they've got 7 million users, which is the most users that they've ever had. Of course, nowhere near the number of users something like FIFA has, which we spoke about last week on 101. It has about 150 million users. So the cultural impact of FIFA is certainly greater than that of Football Manager. But still, 7 million players around the world is a fair number.
All right, so take us through. As a person who played this once, probably a decade or more ago, and was sort of instantly overwhelmed by it, Graham, can you take us through just sort of the start of Football Manager? When you first download, when you first install, when you're going in, how does it work? How do you set it up? How do you get to playing?
Yeah, so first of all, it's generally played on a computer, so there's a difference between this game and FIFA. So I play it on my laptop. When I was a kid, I played on a big desktop computer that had like a big tower on the ground and a big clacky keyboard and a mouse with a wire and everything. In the present day, you can play Football Manager on a range of consoles and even on your phone. Although Football Manager Mobile or Handheld, I can't remember what, they changed the name every season it seems, but it's been called Football Manager Mobile and Handheld in the past. It's a bit more of a primitive game. It's more designed for people like playing, they have 5 minutes on the train, they just want to play a bit of Football Manager. But when you start a new game in Football Manager, you create your profile as a manager, you set up your database, so you pick leagues that are playable, so you can pick leagues that are playable, you can pick leagues that have the database from those leagues, but you can't take over teams from that league. That might be to speed up the game, to make it a little bit quicker. You pick the size of the player database. There are a load of different toggles you can change when setting up your game. You can, for instance, freeze transfers in your first transfer window, so you're essentially going to have the real world season. Or you can jump in to a point further down the line if you want to take over in like the January transfer window or something. So there's a load of different ways you can customize it.
Can you explain? Wait, already we're into the weeds, Graham, for me. So when you're setting it up, it is not like FIFA where it's like you find the league you want to play in, you find the club you want to play in or play for, and then away you go. This one you have to do even more work with sort of the available players and the available parameters.
Yeah, so essentially you will get a kind of dashboard where you've got a list of countries, and it'll be like England, France, Germany, Spain, whatever, all the countries in the world, and you have to click, you have to select the leagues that you want to be playable. But even within then, like you could go to England and you could say I want the Championship and the Premier League to be playable. So you don't have to have like the full league system. You can select the leagues that you want to be playable. Where it is a little bit confusing is those clubs, even if you're not selecting them as playable, they still exist in the game that you are building. It's just you're not able to then go and take charge of those teams. Some of the players might not be available, like some of their youth team players might not be in that database. Essentially, my reading of that is that if you were to load up the entire Football Manager database, even the most powerful of computers would struggle a little bit with the amount of information. And there's a little star rater in the top right corner that tells you how quick your game is going to be. And if you add more leagues, then the stars go down. You're going to have a slower game. So that is, I think, the main primary reason that you would select your database.
And then what sort of control do you have over this? How intricate are we getting?
So once you start and you are announced as the manager of this new team, you'll have to hold your introductory press conference to the media. You have to meet your coaching staff. You have to meet the recruitment staff. You have to agree with the owners on your ambitions for the season and your tenure. Over the last 20 years or so, Football Manager has become so realistic in terms of how it simulates the experience of running a club and a football team. You can set up training, and it's properly forensic as well. It's not just like, do fitness training this day or set beast trainings. You can pick your focuses. You can organize the drills. You can give players individual focuses. You can control their load management. And then with set pieces, you set up how you want to use those as a team. And again, it's not just like we play short corners or we play near post. It asks you to set up the defensive side, how many players you want back for a corner. Do you want to hit out in the counter attack? Different phases of the game. How do you want to use corners in those situations? Types of deliveries. Where it does extend a bit beyond real life is you have some control over the executive side of things as well. So you might have to renew contracts and set up the scouting network, and even things like expand the stadium or improve the training ground, and takeovers happen, and you can get sacked even though you're doing well if the new owners come in and they want their own manager. And, you know, you might have to convince them. They might ask for a meeting and you have to convince them you're the guy for the job. So, there's a lot that you have to control. Obviously, I understand that might be a bit overwhelming, but this is where the responsibilities tab is your friend, because you can pick and choose what you want to have control over, and you can delegate a lot of things to a member of staff or your director of football or whoever.
What does that like opening press conference look like? Do you basically have options of answers you can give?
Yeah, it's like stock answers. That's actually maybe the most kind of primitive, unrealistic part of the game, is you do notice quickly that you get asked the same questions in the same scenarios, and there's the same stock answers, and very quickly you learn kind of what answers to give that will please the press or please your players. So you can kind of game the system a little bit, even if it's something you don't want to say. You think, I'll say that because I know my player will respond well to that. But there's like a selection of different answers you have.
So you can't go in, if you want to be Jose Mourinho, you can't go in and sort of be prickly and take shots at other managers. They don't quite have that feature yet.
You don't have freedom to say whatever you want to say, but you can choose your demeanor, right? I can't remember off the top of my head what the demeanors are, but there's like, there's one I'm sure that's like surly. You can storm out of the press conference at any point if you want to. So there's a level of freedom, but yeah, you can't just go in and say whatever you want.
I kind of wish you could. I kind of could, like, yeah. Can you develop a reputation, or is that still too advanced? They're not like, oh, manager Graham is back to his normal grumpiness.
Absolutely. You can develop a reputation for being a certain type of manager. You can, your relationships with other managers as well. There's a section, I think it might be in the profile section. Yeah, it is. It's in profile, and then you go into relationships, and you'll see like, they'll list managers that maybe you have a good relationship with, and then maybe managers that you have a bad relationship with. Where I think that's going to lead is through the use of like AI. I think they're going to integrate. I wonder if that's what Miles Jacobson is talking about for next season. I wonder if there's going to be AI in the press conference where you can literally just type in whatever you want and you will get a response back that kind of makes sense.
And why does this turn into a thing that is crazy addictive? Because you hear that with every Football Manager post on Reddit of, should I get into it? And the responses are always like, do you have 10 hours uninterrupted every single day? And do you mind not having any more lasting human relationships? Yeah. So it feels like one of those things that starts off tedious, and maybe once you get to know the ropes, you get addicted pretty quickly.
Yeah, so Football Manager has been my addiction for pretty much 15 years of my life, and I'm sort of joking, but also not really. If you look at my current game in the Steam library, I'm over 100 hours of gameplay, and that's just FM24. You put together all the different editions of that game, all the different years. I also, believe it or not, play it much less now than I did in the past. Now I sort of play it on a Friday night most weeks, but in the past it would be every night. So when I say it's my addiction, it kind of really is my addiction, and I have to like talk myself out of opening it up and losing 5 hours when I should be doing work. Like I know you know what it's like the couple of days before you go away on holiday. Mm-hmm. You have to run quicker on the hamster wheel before you go away. Every bit of me that tonight will want to open up Football Manager, mm-hmm, and continue my Athletic Club save that I've got going on at the moment, I can't do it. I've got too much work to do, otherwise I won't be able to go on holiday. So like, I genuinely have to talk myself out of opening it up. And for me, it's so addictive because I had to think about this before we did this episode, because I'm not sure I had an answer, but this is what I've landed on. It's so addictive because you can't leave on a win because you want to keep going. You think that things are going well right now, I want to continue this streak. And you can't leave on a defeat, because then you'll think about that once you stop playing as well. So that's the part of the conundrum. It's also totally immersive, and this will sound like real addicts talk when I say this, but time goes by so quickly when I'm playing Football Manager. On Friday nights, I'll sort of look at the clock and realise it's 3 a.m. in the morning or something, and I've been playing since 8 p.m. and I can't believe that I've spent like 8 hours playing the game. And that happens regularly. I'll get, if I'm watching a game on the TV, like a football match, I get quite easily distracted. If I'm watching a game on the TV, I'll be on my phone, you know, have my laptop, I'll go through to the kitchen to talk to Lucy. When I'm playing Football Manager, I'm completely wired in. And Lucy will joke, I always like rub my hair because I'm like stressed out when I'm playing Football Manager. So yeah, it's a real thing, a real addiction.
I've heard that part of the addiction is also rooted in the idea that it's not obviously better to play as a bigger club. Like in FIFA, if you're playing as Man City or whomever, you're going to have more money to spend on transfers. It's going to be more fun because you're going to have a better quality of player. Is it the case that that's not necessarily true when it comes to Football Manager?
I find it to be the opposite. It's more fun to start off, and look, this might just be my disposition as a Scottish Stirling Albion fan, but I find it more fun to start with a poorer quality team lower down the ladder and see where you can take them. Like here's a couple of saves I've done before. I've done Manchester United like fairly recently as well. I think I did Manchester United over Christmas just because I wanted to see if I could fix them. And I did in like two or three seasons. So very occasionally I will go an elite level team, but more often than not, I mean, Athletic Club, that's my current save right now. That's, you know, they're a top level team, just won the Copa del Rey in real life. But there's more going on with Athletic Club that makes them interesting as a manager. But generally speaking, it's more fun to take control of a lower league team and see where you can lead them.
Now maybe we're getting into the therapy side of things for both of us, because my next question, Graham, becomes, do you reset? Like, do you go back to a previous save if you're like, oh, I got that decision wrong, or like, oh, actually, I didn't like that transfer? Do you live with your decisions? How do you play the game with a feeling of there are limitless options and limitless potential?
Sometimes you'll get to a point in the season where you have made a few mistakes and you just want to get to the summer transfer window, because a lot of this game is about the transfers you make, right? That's the fun part of it. It's like building a team. I know I'm Athletic Club right now and I can't really do that, but that's an unusual one for me. Normally it's about the transfers, but I'm not bad for this. I know a lot of Football Manager players do this, so they'll do the old save before the match, and then, mm-hmm, if it doesn't go their way, they'll reload and play it again. I have had that a couple times where I've just had like an incredible run. I remember with them, this was a while ago, I took Stirling Albion to like the Scottish Cup semi-final. I think we got a favourable draw as well. It was like Partick Thistle, which for my team was a winnable game. I remember we lost that match and I was like, nope, that's not how this story ends. Like, reload that one and replay the game. I don't do that very often, but I have done that before. But generally speaking, when I was a kid, I used to have big notebooks of, I would take down results, I would kind of do my scouting in these notebooks, and there's a good player, I'll look at him, there's his attributes. Like, I used to be properly forensic about it, and that was back in the day. My gameplay would be like 250 hours for the year. Like, it was a serious amount of Football Manager I was playing back then. But generally speaking, I don't linger on the defeats and the bad decisions too long.
Do you take different approaches when you start a new campaign, or is there a Graham Ruthven, here's what you should be doing as soon as you start a new career every single time?
Gig and pressing. 4-3-3 is pretty much every single... I mean, there'll be occasional... I've tried the whole back three with wingbacks thing. I don't know whether it's my lack of understanding of what makes that system work, because you can go into each player's roles and responsibilities and change how they play the role, and I will do that at the start of starting a new save. I don't know whether I just don't have a firm grasp of how that works, but I just can never get it to perform for me, and I end up always going back to my gig and pressing 4-3-3, which tends to be my default.
And are there other things? Do you assign scouts early on? Do you hire certain coaches or certain styles of coaches? What are like the little adjustments you tend to make pretty quickly?
So I will go into, my scouting network is pretty important, because what happens quickly is your scouts start to, if you set out like a profile of player that they are looking for, so if you know what sort of team you want to be, say you want to be high-pressing, energetic, direct on the attacking side of the ball, which tends to be how I set up my team as Football Manager. You set out that profile, and then they'll bring back players who will fit that profile, and they'll give them a grade. They'll give them like an A, B, or C, or they'll say you must sign this player, or this player would be good for the future. So very quickly, that takes care of the scouting and the transfer side of things. These are not necessarily things that I do, but here are some tips for anyone who, and I understand that Football Manager has quite a high barrier of entry, right? I've never watched The Wire. Everyone I know says that The Wire is great. I am sure I would get into The Wire and I'd love it, but it seems like there's quite a lot to get up to speed with it, and it just seems like a real task to start. And I'm sure for a lot of people that's like Football Manager. So these are some tips. If you're that person and you feel like you just can't get into Football Manager, here are some things that might help you. When setting up your database, select only a handful of leagues as playable leagues would be one of my tips, because then you're not going to get news from all those leagues cluttering up your news feed. Then once you've started, get into that responsibilities tab that I talked about, and delegate daily training and individual training to one of your coaches. Also delegate all the scouting, but not the transfers, because that is the fun bit. You want to be making the transfers, you want to be making the bids. So what that means is, as I say, you'll get recommendations on players from your scouts, and then you'll have to decide whether you want to sign them or not. Delegate contract renewals for staff and the hiring of staff as well. That's a pretty dull job, really. Take as much off your plate as possible, so all you're handling is team selection, transfers, and media responsibilities. And you can even get rid of the media stuff if you want. I kind of find that the least entertaining bit of the game, to be honest. Delegate that to your assistant if you want to. That's how I think you get into it. And then as you get more comfortable, start taking some of that stuff back. Maybe take the individual training back, which is a little bit more manageable than the... Even me as a football manager veteran, there'll be times when I'll go into the responsibilities for team-wide training, and I'll just put that on my assistant coach or whoever, just to at least get started with the team, and then maybe I'll take it back a little bit later. So even for a veteran like myself, like, I still do that, but that would be my advice. If you're finding Football Manager a little bit daunting, you can still get into it by taking a lot off your plate.
Can you talk for a minute about that player database? I know you're saying limit it because it is so widespread, Graham. Just how widespread are we talking? How many players?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Football Manager. They have thousands of researchers around the world who are leading into this database. It's actually not something that I have in my research in front of me, but I'm pretty sure we've spoken about this in the past, and I think I said about 60,000 different players are in the game. And that's part of the thing that leads to real-world clubs using Football Manager to supplement some of their scouting. And I think that's the key thing. I wouldn't think Football Manager would be a big part of any kind of elite-level scouting strategy, but a few years ago, Prozone did enter into an agreement with Football Manager to use their database, so that there's some professional legitimacy there. And as I say, they have thousands of researchers around the world. I've definitely spoken about this in the main show before, but each club in the game has a researcher. They submit reports on players and matches throughout the season. Each player has hundreds of data points. So if you multiply that across all the clubs in Football Manager, which is pretty much every professional club in the world, all the players in the game, which I think to estimate is about 60,000 plus, it's a huge amount of information. It has to be one of the biggest football databases, if not the biggest football database that is in existence. So it makes sense that clubs would use it in some way.
What are some of those real-world impacts that you've seen? The one that I thought was pretty fascinating is the Ben Brereton-Diaz connection. Do you want to talk about that one for a sec?
I think essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, on this, because I'm kind of delving into the subconscious, but did Chile not discover he had some kind of Chilean lineage?
It was a Chilean football manager player, I believe, found out that, yeah, there was like, he had the eligibility, and then I think it came to the attention of the Chilean FA after that, where he was encouraged to apply for a passport and make that official, and he did, and now he can play for Chile.
Hooray. Incredible. And he's like, he's been one of their better players in recent years, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember watching him at the Copa America. So that's incredible. You have the case of, I mean, this is the one that always gets brought up, particularly in recent years, but Will Still, who is the 31-year-old manager of Rennes in Ligue 1, who credits Football Manager with getting him into youth coaching in his 20s. So you have an actual like big five manager who started off as a Football Manager kid. Like, he doesn't have a particularly illustrious background in professional soccer, or he doesn't really have any background at all to speak of. His background is Football Manager and getting used to coaching and management through that. So I'm not saying you're going to get a Ligue 1 job if you're good at Football Manager. If that were the case, I'm waiting on the phone call. But it is a pretty useful entry portal into the game.
And then I've seen other little instances like Buffett Tembi Gomez when he moves to Swansea. He's asked about, you know, how much did you know about Swansea? How much did you know about the club or their identity or their players? And he said basically nothing. But on the flight over and preparing for the flight, I just played Football Manager with Swansea a whole bunch to figure out how they want to play and who their best players are. And so it is interesting that you can sort of have some information, at least, debatable as to how realistic it can be, but you do get an idea of who, what the club is, who the players are, and where they want to play, basically. It gives you some background if you are a player or a non-player.
Honestly, it's a pretty good research tool. I think if you were a player going to a club you didn't know much about, you would know more coming out of playing a game of Football Manager as that club. I know Antoine Griezmann is a big Football Manager player. There's been footage of him. There's that infamous one of him sitting on the plane at France. Maybe it was like a World Cup or something. I can't quite remember. But France are on this plane and their social media team is just filming him on his laptop and he's playing Football Manager. And then he looks over to Kylian Mbappe and he goes, "I've signed you for Newcastle United." And Mbappe goes, "It's cold there." So I don't think a move to Newcastle United is on the cards for Kylian Mbappe at any point soon. But Griezmann loves his Football Manager.
One more on the structural side, Graham. How much can you toy with the actual structure of things? Can you create your own leagues if you wanted to play with, say, the Richmond Kickers, for example, who are in League One, USL League One? Can you make a pro rel in the USA happen? How much flexibility do you have?
You can do whatever you want. I generally don't do that. So you need to download the editor, right? So you need to go into Steam. I think it's like £6. It used to be free, but it's about £6. I'd imagine like $8 or something like that. And you download the editor and you can do whatever you want. So if you want to, I mean, I can't imagine this would be much fun. It'd be cheating. But if you wanted to give whatever club like a £1 billion in transfer funds, you can go into the editor and do that. You can create leagues with fake teams, with fake players. You can create your own league structure. And that is actually very useful from a simulation point of view. I used to do this at STV all the time. There would be these proposals about an Atlantic League where the Scottish clubs would join the Dutch teams and the Belgian teams and the Norwegian teams, and people would hypothesize, "Oh, how would that go?" Well, at STV, a couple of times we created those leagues and simulate it out and it's a pretty good engine to see how that would pan out. So you can do whatever you want. Yeah,
I never quite got how relegation out of those leagues would work.
No, I think that's one of the reasons why it didn't happen.
There you go. Graham, anything else to add about Football Manager? I feel like we've gone through the basics. You do get to like watch the game sort of happen, right? If you're playing and once your club starts playing.
Yeah, you've got the match engine. So you can select, again, huge amount of customization. You can select if you want to watch, I don't think you can watch the full match, but you can watch extended highlights, key highlights, or no highlights at all. You can have replays, no replays. You can choose the speed of the match. But basically, yeah, whenever there's I always just put it on key highlights. Whenever something happens, whether it's a shot or a red card, yellow card, a goal or whatever, it will spring up with a match engine and you can watch this. I mean, it's nothing like FIFA. It's not like the graphics of one of those games, but you can watch your players running around the pitch and they'll score a goal or whatever.
And the question that keeps kind of coming back to me, Graham, like, how many times have you tried to excitedly tell your wife about your latest save, your latest simulation, and how often does she just sort of give you that, like, oh, okay, no, that's great, that's great?
Oh, most of my discussions with Lucy, regarding football anyway, are like that, so no different to me coming through to the kitchen. Wow, this incredible thing happened. I had to, during the World Cup final there, the 3-3 France-Argentina final, potentially the greatest World Cup final of all time, I had to come down to the kitchen and turn on the TV and be like, watch this. You're watching this. So that is basically how our interaction goes. She does not care a jot about Football Manager, but she humours me. She likes to pretend that she does. I remember talking to her about my Manchester United save over Christmas, where I was very pleased with myself that I'd managed to fix them and won the Premier League title within like 2 years. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, that's great, great achievement, yeah. And I was like, I've got a tune out of Antony's and double figures for assists for this year. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's excellent.
See, now I'm excited about that. So at the very least, you can talk to me about it, Graham, as you do on this episode. So thank you for that. Anything else on Football Manager, or shall I allow you to go pack for your transoceanic adventure?
I'll have plenty of time over the next 2 weeks to play Football Manager on the plane.
Wonderful.
8 hours with nothing to do, just going to play Football Manager for the whole time. I probably will do that.
You are traveling with your daughter and wife, correct?
They can.
That'll be fine.
Get into Football Manager as well.
Perfect. Well, Graham Ruthven, thank you for talking it all out. I think I do want to give it a go. I do have a Mac, and it's available for Mac and PC. Would you recommend playing on a PC, or do you think Mac gets the job done?
I play in my what have I got, like a MacBook Air, and it's great. Honestly, long live Football Manager. It's one of my favorite things in life. And one of the most surprising things is that Joe doesn't play Football Manager, because it's a game that I would think is entirely geared to his interests and what he looks for in football. But maybe it will happen. We'll make that happen at some point.
But Joe himself is a robot, so a robot playing a simulator, I'm not sure if that would be useful, or if
that's
would just
true.
Lead to Terminator. Or a Terminator situation.
Butterfly effect.
Well, the machine's becoming self-aware is mostly what I'm concerned about. But who knows? If that happens, we know that it's Joe's fault. For now, Graham Ruthven, thank you for talking about Football Manager with me today, but not Championship Manager.
Thank you, Taylor Rockwell.
Soccer 101 listeners, thank you all for continuing to listen and support the show. Please tell your friends, tell anybody who might be interested in Football Manager or any of the many topics that we have discussed, and we will talk to you again next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.